lovely. A good reminder of glorious truths that should be a part of our thinking day after day. Turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 13. While you're turning there, let me just let you know that the memorial service yesterday for William MacDonald, who is the author of 84 books, was a glorious celebration of God's goodness and love. We had breakfast with him in November when we were in California, and then he had an obstruction and surgery and complications, and the Lord called him home at 91, almost 92. But there is an authorized biography going to be put together of his life. He was at one time a teacher at Emmaus Bible College and then became the president of Emmaus Bible College. And then while we were there, George Verwer, who was the founder of Operation Mobilization, came into his office. And his office was a fairly significant size room. And behind his desk was a wall of books. And George Verwer came in. He was a young man. He's three weeks older than I. This would have been back late 50s, I guess. And so put his hands on Mr. MacDonald's desk and leaned over and said, "Have you read all these books?" And Bill MacDonald said, "Well, no, many of them are for reference books. They're, you know, you refer to them." He said, "Why don't you sell them all and give it to the money to the missionaries?" This is the president of Emmaus Bible College. And he did. And he sold all his books and sold all his possessions. And I can still see him driving away from Emmaus Bible College in a 1953 Chevrolet with all of his possessions. He wrote the book, little booklet, True Discipleship, and chose not to be married for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the work of the Lord. And he then traveled with OM from 1968 to 1972, doing teaching and training and encouraging young people who were serving the Lord in Europe. And then became a teacher at the Discipleship Intern Training Program, which was carried on at the Fairhaven Bible Chapel in San Leandro, California, and did that up until it ceased its operation. And for the last few years, he has lived in San Leandro in an apartment. We were there for breakfast a couple of years ago, and he said, "Everything here belongs to somebody else." And so they were taking care of him. He fell two or three times in the course of the last couple of years, and then the Lord took him home Christmas Day. So it's a glorious celebration of God's goodness and love and provision. And Believer's Bible Commentary is probably the greatest work that is attributed to him, and it has been translated into many, many different languages, still in the process of being translated. So you can continue to pray for, not for him, but for his investment of his life in the encouragement and training of young people through his writing. And yesterday was the memorial service at Fairhaven Bible Chapel. It was attended by many, many, many more than could sit down. And so we thank God for the end of a life on this earth. He has not only served his generation, but he has and will continue through his writings to serve many other generations. And the reason I spend these few minutes is because Joshua chapter 13 opens by God saying to Joshua, "You are old." Now, I don't know what the inflection was from God's voice. But if somebody were to say that to you, "You're old," as my grandson said to me one day, "You're old, Grandpa, you're old, Papa." But when God says it, you better prepare for the end, because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We do all we can to look young. and to, I suppose, feel young, taking vitamins and everything else. But in Joshua chapter 13, it says Joshua was old and stricken with years. And the Lord said unto him, "You're old," or "You are old, and stricken in years, and there remaineth much land yet to be possessed." It's a striking connection, isn't it? I want to actually read from chapter 14, but we'll come back to chapter 13, and we'll look at some of these things along the way. But our particular concern this morning is in Joshua chapter 14, and we'd like to read from verse 1. "And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for the inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses, for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance to 2 tribes and half tribe on the other side Jordan. But unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs, for their cattle and for their substance. And the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. And the children of Judah came unto Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenzanite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing which the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people to melt. And I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the Lord whereon thy feet, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou hearest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzanite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord, God of Israel. The name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Chapter 15. And verse 14. Verse 13 for connection. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Shishai, Ahiman, Talmel, the children of Anak. Chapter 21 and verse 11. And they gave unto the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is Hebron, and in the hill country of Judah, with the suburbs thereof round about it. But the fields of the city and the villages thereof gave they to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for his possession. Thus they gave to the children of Aaron, the priest, Hebron, with her suburbs, to be a city of refuge for the slayer, and Libna with her suburbs. Let's pray together. Our loving God and Father, we thank you for these amazing characters that you allow to parade before the stage of history in order that we might study their lives, that we might know their ways, that we might understand and appreciate their faith as well as their failure. We thank you for bringing before our eyes this morning both Joshua and Caleb. We thank you for them as men of courage, men of strength, men of independent minds, men of faith who believed what you said you would do. And we thank you for the reward that you gave them. We are challenged by their life. We're challenged by their testimony. We're challenged by what they do and what they said. May we this morning again, as we review what you have recorded for us, be reminded of our responsibility in our life with the inheritance that you have provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to meet with us and for the Spirit of Christ which guides us and directs us into truth. We open our ears that we might hear what the Spirit says to the churches. We open our mouth that we might be fed with the bread of life. We thank you again for these blessings through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One of the amazing things regarding the migration of the children of Israel from Egypt to Canaan is that God uses the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. Five books in the Old Testament record this glorious transformation of a group of slaves in Egypt to the sons of God or the sons of Israel in the land of Canaan. And it's amazing that all of these details that we have in these five chapters are wrapped up in the concluding of victories, the concluding of war, and the celebration of victories in the book of Joshua. We have spent, you may think, 40 years going through these chapters and taking out occasional portions which are instructive to us. But as we come to chapters that we have read from this morning, chapters 13, 14, 15, we find that the land now had rest. That's where we finished last Lord's Day. Joshua took the land, he gave it to the people, and there was rest. A measure of rest. It doesn't mean that all of the enemies of Israel were driven out of the land, but it means that the land was enough conquered in order that it could now be distributed to each of the tribes. It was distributed by lot. There were tribes that were much bigger than other tribes. And so God, according to His command, according to His designation, it was to be done by lot, and Proverbs tells us that the lot, the casting of the lot, is in the lap, but the Lord is the one who works out that way of determining His will. Now, most of us wouldn't take a set of dice and say, should we do this or that in our spiritual life or even in our practical life? And so God's means by which He guides us we found to be the Word of God. But this occasion, when the Word of God was not available, there was the casting of lots. And to the best of our understanding, it came from the provision of God through the high priest. The reason the high priest was there is that the breastplate of the high priest was in fact a cloth envelope. On the front of the breastplate were 12 stones, one for each of the tribes of the sons of Jacob or Israel. But there was in this pocket, in this envelope, which is the breastplate, there were two stones, an Urim and Thummim. And they were not entirely clear as to exactly what that is, but they are called stones of light. And perhaps by designation, if you call them stones of light, there may in fact have been a stone of darkness. By that we understand that there were two stones inside this envelope, one a dark stone and one a light stone. And the question was put before God, who should receive this lot of land? And as best we can understand, the high priest would put his hand into this envelope or pocket and draw out a stone, God determining which stone would show up in the hand of the high priest. If it was a white stone, it was a yes. If it was a black stone, it was a no. And so as we come to these chapters, and if you have read ahead, which I hope some of you have, in our study in Joshua, you have found it rather tedious to read about a tree here and a rock there and a mountain here and a valley here and a river here and the piece of property or the lot, the piece of property that belonged to each tribe was designated by natural parts of the land of Canaan. And so each tribe received this portion of land, and we have in the course of these many chapters, we have the designation of what land belonged to what tribe. Now, as we try to apply this in our own heart and in our own mind, we realize that God has given to us all things that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ. All of the possessions that God intended for us as believers are given to us because He gave us Christ. We have reminded ourselves on a number of occasions that the land of Canaan does not represent heaven. It represents what is resident in Christ, and they are spiritual blessings. And so that when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, in the same way that the children of Israel applied the blood to the doorpost and to the lintel in Egypt, and they were redeemed out of Egypt, set free from bondage into the glorious liberty of the children of God, and God said, "You are my people, you are my chosen possession, I will care for you and I will take you into a land flowing with milk and honey." And so Canaan is not heaven. It may be a symbolic picture of it, but in no way represents to us in our study heaven. We come out of Egypt in order that we might enter into the land of Canaan. The children of Israel, God told them over and over again, "I bring you out that I may bring you in." And so the conclusion, as it were, of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua is that the children of Israel will live in the land that God gave them. It was an inheritance. And the word inheritance is important for us to understand, because you don't, normally speaking, pay for an inheritance. It belongs to you by gift. It belongs to you by right, because you are the children of those who distribute the inheritance. And the children of Israel became the children of God. They became God's people. And God said, "I am giving you an inheritance." And that inheritance is the land of Canaan. Way back in the book of Exodus, when we were there, there was a description of how big the land was. From the river of Egypt to the mountains of Hermon, from the great sea to the Euphrates. And even as we go through the book of Joshua, and were we to take all these details and try to find exactly where the piece of land was, we would realize that in this text, and in the book of Joshua, they never physically possessed all the land that God had promised to them. The closest they came was at the end of David's reign, when he conquered the Philistines and drove out the enemies north and east and south. And Solomon then came as king of Israel, possessing the most land that Israel has ever possessed. There are spiritual instructions for us in this regard. Because the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, whether we're a child of 7 or 8, and whether we're a young teenager or someone in their early years, we still receive the inheritance in the same way that the children of Israel, the moment they were redeemed out of Egypt, God said, I have given you that land. It would be 40 years, 40 long years before any of those people put their foot on land and could say, this is mine. And so these chapters describe to us the distribution of the land by lot. And there is instruction in that regard for us as well. Because when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, based upon our education, based upon our culture, our language, and many other things, we begin to enter into and we begin to understand basic truths of the Word of God. We begin to comprehend issues and ideas and principles and practices from the Word of God. And we don't all have a full understanding of the whole revelation of God. There isn't any man or any woman on the face of the earth that has been given, or who has received, or who has appropriated all the issues that relate to spiritual truths in the Word of God. There are those that are particularly exercised about prophecy. I know a preacher, I don't think he can open his mouth without preaching on prophecy. That is his thing. He has studied it. He looks at current politics. He looks at history. He looks at all of these things, and he tries to put together from the Word of God what God is going to do in the future. God has blessed him with an amazing capacity. It's not my bag. There are another man I can think of. Every time he opens his mouth, he talks about church truth. He cannot speak without going to church truth. I can remember sitting and listening to him speak, and he was given an assignment to speak on a certain subject. He hadn't made 10 sentences before he said, you know, I really have to get into church truth. And he left behind the idea that was assigned to him, and he began to talk about the role of women, about the priesthood of believers, about all the issues that had to do with how the church should be. And so each of us, like a tribe within the family of Israel, are given the opportunity to enjoy and appreciate and appropriate certain areas of Bible truth. There are people who go to the minor prophets and they can expound the minor prophets. I can remember listening to a man speak on Zechariah. And I, you know, you'll find my way through Zechariah, okay? And I can read it and I have studied it and spoken on it. But this man is absorbed with Zechariah. And so it is, as we look at this, and the children of Israel, by tribe, receiving this portion and that portion, the hill country belonging to Judah, and Simeon over here, and Dan way up in the north, and Issachar and Zebulun and all of these, it helps us understand that God has given to you a portion of the inheritance that is given to the church. And you are responsible, as I am responsible, to develop and understand and appreciate and enjoy and appropriate and pass on to my children that which I have inherited in a spiritual sense. And as I read this again and I looked at this verse, even this morning as I looked at it in chapter 14, and verse 9, I was struck by this as Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the Lord, whereon thy feet have trodden, shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Let me ask you this morning, What is your children's inheritance? Oh, I'm not asking for your financial sheet. I'm not necessarily interested in a long catalog of all of your possessions. I'm not interested in how many cars you have, or this or that, or all of these things. What is the spiritual inheritance that you are going to pass on to your children? It is a challenging question. And as I sat this morning in my study, I looked at these two lines. This shall be your inheritance and your children forever. It may be that you leave your children a significant financial investment. And that's okay. That's what the Bible teaches, because it says that children are not supposed to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. But what about the spiritual issues? Are there great doctrines that you have investigated and you have studied and you have understood and you have communicated them to the next generation? That's why I was amazed again when I think of Bill McDonald. What has he done? He had no children. He wasn't married. But God gave to him children all around the world. And he has written that which God has given to him, some 84 books, and they have been printed and published and republished and translated and printed again, because he wanted to give an inheritance to you, an inheritance to me. And God has called upon us to do the same thing, to leave behind for our children an understanding of spiritual truths, a comprehension, first of all, of the gospel. Do you know the gospel? Can you explain the words of redemption and reconciliation and propitiation and substitution and justification? Great doctrines which just explode with amazing truths as we understand them and we bring them to our children and say, this is your inheritance forever. What a difference between reading a will that says, I have left you this car, and you might put in parenthesis, which will rust, which will wear out, which will need gas and oil and need to be replaced. But I have left you, my son, this truth, this concept, this practice in a spiritual way. Are we as concerned about leaving behind a summary of truths that God has given to us as we have placed our foot upon one page of the Word of God after the other, and we have inculcated into their minds and into their hearts these truths so that they think them and they live them and they will pass them on to the next generation? It's a challenge, isn't it? And I sat there this morning thinking of your children forever and the investment that God would have us make. Certainly not where Caleb is at 85 years old. But as I look back over 40 years of teaching and preaching on a full-time basis, I must ask myself, as I asked you, have I left my children an inheritance? A spiritual inheritance? Do they know the truths of the Word of God? Do they comprehend the great issues that have to do with the doctrine of salvation? Have I explained to them the doctrine of Christ, the person and work of our blessed Savior? Do they appreciate and appropriate the sacrifice that He made on the cross and join in worship of adoring Him and speaking well of Him? Have I communicated to them the responsibility of evangelism, of sharing the gospel with them, and telling them that the person next to them in school, the person that they live beside in the community, the place where they go to do business, they are people who need Christ? And have I communicated to them that part of the inheritance? Because as I look at the land of Canaan, and I look at this great land which one day, in all of its fullness, will belong to Israel, because He will be the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and He will give them that land from the great sea to the river Euphrates, from the river of Egypt to Mount Hermon. They will have it all. But He's given to me the opportunity of walking through this great book and reading it, trying to understand it and comprehend it and apply it. This is the geography, in a spiritual sense, of the land of Canaan. It is the means by which I can walk up and down in the land that God has given to me. I can investigate and take an inventory of all the spiritual blessings that are mine in the Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and my sisters, if you have believed the gospel and you have been born again and your sins have been forgiven and you have received Christ as your Savior, you have been given an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, and He is reserved in heaven for you, but He's invited us today and every day of our life. He has invited us to search out, because in Him dwell all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We make sure our children get an education and graduate, but have we given them an education regarding this inheritance? If God had given to you a piece of land from your ancestors, what would you do? Would you not immediately mark out and make sure that the stakes are at the corners of that piece of property? And would you not begin a long-term investigation into the hills and valleys, into the mountains and into the streams, into the desert and into the rivers, into the lakes and every aspect of that piece of ground? Would you not do it? Would you not then have the delight and the joy of being a father or being a mother and taking your child by the hand and say, "Son, one day this will be yours. And there's a stake here and there's a metal rod there, and it goes over this piece of ground and it goes down beside that rock and it goes up along this river and it comes out over here again. This is going to be yours." Wouldn't you do it? Wouldn't you do it? Would you do it spiritually? Would you go into the Word of God when they ask a question and say, "Yes, let me explain to you what that means. Let me help you understand that you need not be filled with worry, because God has not given us the fear, spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And the child is so afraid. You tell him, "You don't have to be afraid, because fear brings torment and fear comes from the enemy. And I've overcome the fear through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ." Can you take one truth after the other? And can you do that by impressing upon them, your descendants, those who will receive your inheritance, and give it to them as a gift that they cannot earn and they cannot buy? You would do it physically, and you've probably already arranged it. But have you done it spiritually? For some of us, we're late in doing that. And it becomes necessary for us now to look beyond our children toward our grandchildren and to begin a long process, a long curriculum, so that we can say to our parents, say to our grandchildren, "This is my inheritance, and it will be yours forever." We look at that land of Canaan today, that land of Israel, Palestine, and we see how terribly divided it is, and the sadness with which they argue and fight and war over that little piece of ground, that little postage stamp size of dirt that God said belongs to Israel. Why is it? Why is it today that you can walk up and down that land and you see it scarred by war? You see poverty. You see drought. And you see a land that is not worth much. And yet the world is fighting over it. Why is it that way today? The answer is simple. The previous generation didn't give it to their children. They didn't pass on the inheritance. They went their own way in disobedience and rebellion against God. They set up idols in this part and idols in that part. And God came in and said, "I'm going to scatter you." Your disobedience and your rebellion, your refusal to drive out all of these enemies out of this land,
He said, I am taking this land from you, and it doesn't belong to you anymore. I will give it to you one day, but I'm going to cause others to walk up and down and back and forth and war in this land.
And the same thing is happening today in a spiritual sense. We live today in a spiritual condition of rebellion and disobedience against God. People hold the cross up, but they deny the power of the cross. They hold up the resurrection once a year, but they don't understand the result of the resurrection in the lives of believers. And there are glorious truths that are being lost to the Christian church today because we're not passing it on to our generation. God has given it to us. This shall be your inheritance, he says in verse 9, and to your children forever. And so I ask you, have you made a concerted effort to pass on this glorious truth? But we must stop back one more time and say, but here is Caleb. Caleb, a man of God, a man who wholly followed the Lord, as we'll find out this evening. And he claimed that land. He conquered the enemy. He drove out the giants and he gave it to his generation. And to his generation, it says, forever. God has given to us the opportunity of doing the same thing spiritually. Do you know I face abysmal ignorance of the Word of God as we travel around and ask people a question about the Bible or refer to an illustration and ask them, where in the Bible do we find about Melchizedek and who is Melchizedek and why is he so important? People say, who is Melchizedek? And we have accommodated a world filled with instant gratification into the Christian church. And it's not possible to claim all that God has given us instantly. It took 25 years for the children of Israel, by the end of the book of Joshua, to claim the land. And still, they'd only claimed a small part of it. It means a designation, an understanding of what God has given to us. And say, as Caleb said, give me this mountain. I invite you to come back again this evening because we want to look at that amazing statement which Caleb said to God and to Joshua. Give me this mountain. God has given us an inheritance. That inheritance are the blessings of our salvation. From salvation through sanctification and service and all the issues that relate to Bible doctrine and Bible practice. And it means diligence in our study to understand and to know it, to know our inheritance and pass it on. One of the reasons for writing that book that's out on your table is that I wanted to pass on to my children something of the inheritance that God has given to me. And as I thought again this morning, sitting in my study, looking at a copy of that book, and I realized God has given me the opportunity of claiming some of those ideas and thoughts and pass it on to primarily my children. And God has undertaken in a wonderful way to make it possible that spiritual children which belong to God and belong to me also share in that inheritance. It is by the grace of God. And I am challenged again by Joshua and by Caleb. God said to Joshua, you're old. You're weary. You're tired. You're worn out. But God found him as a man who wholly followed the Lord. I wish I could say that of myself as Caleb did of himself. May God challenge us again this morning that though we have our things in order, in regard to the inheritance of our children, have we handed over to them the spiritual issues, the spiritual blessings, the rivers and the valleys and the mountains of truth that are found in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because what we hand to them in this world is not eternal. What we hand to them of truth is eternal. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you again for reminding us this morning of the fact that you have given to us an inheritance, and you have kept us by your divine power to enjoy, to partake of, to participate in, to feed off of the inheritance that you've given to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we confess how easy it is for us to apply ourselves to being successful in this world, and how hard it is to be successful in spiritual things. Thank you for meeting with us, for speaking to us as you said you would do, through Jesus Christ our Lord.